Welcome to the Relatable Finance Podcast. Here are your hosts, Joseph Carl and Shane Phillips.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Relatable Finance. I'm Joseph Carl, and I'm joined by my colleague, Portfolio Manager Shane Phillips. We're both members of the investment team at Provenance Wealth Advisors, a financial planning and investment firm located in sunny South Florida. So in this episode of Relatable Finance, we're going to discuss how to gauge the strength or weakness of the economy. While the strength or weakness of the economy is not the most important things in our lives, it's kind of a big deal. It can impact so many aspects of our lives, from our jobs, our marriages, our moods, the decisions we make. Whether you like it or not, the economy can impact many things. In episode 11, we discuss where the economy may be headed. Today, we want to discuss the topic a little bit differently and provide some information and resources that can help you determine and make a decision on your own where you think the economy may be headed.
Yeah, and Joe, I think you're exactly right. You know, whether we like it or not, the economy has a huge impact. And I think whether we actually know it or not, the economy has a huge impact on our lives. So a friend of mine recently said that his company is predicting a recession in the next few years. And thus, because of that, they were really trying to push sales this year. So something as simple as that comes into play because of what they think the economy is going to do. So a lot of things we're going to talk about today will give you an idea of what you can look at, give you some knowledge, and maybe better help you understand things that are going on in our economy.
Yeah, so before we begin discussing this task, we need to understand that assessing the strength or weakness of the economy can be really hard. Why? Well, if you think about it, the economy is really the collective actions and decisions of all humans. In the U.S., we have 327 million citizens as of 2018. And as of the most recent estimate, we have 7.7 billion people on Earth. That's a lot of people. If we were all the same exact person, predicting the economy would be rather easy, but we are not. We all have our own unique preferences, different careers, different financial obligations. We all make decisions differently, etc. It is these differences that make gauging the economy challenging.
And it may sound like we're trying to make a prediction and get an idea of where we're going to go, and it is very, very difficult because of all those reasons you stated, so many different people. But as we also said, it does have such a huge impact on our lives, and that's why so many people dedicate time to understanding the economy and making a decision on where we think it's going. And that's a big part of what we do with our portfolio decisions, is based upon where we're at in the economy and where we think we're going.
So while this is a challenging endeavor, there are some clues that we can use to try and gauge things. First, GDP or GDP growth. GDP stands for gross domestic products, and it's measured a number of different ways, but should all end up with the same result, which takes into consideration how many goods and services we buy and produce in a given year. GDP is released by the Bureau of Economic Analysis, which is part of the U.S. government. The data is released with an initial estimate about a month after the quarter ends, a second estimate about a month later, and then the final number about a month after that. These numbers don't really change from one estimate to the next. Nonetheless, by the time the final number comes in, you're getting data that's really about 3 months old.
And GDP is probably the biggest data point, the most well-known data point that we look at, that others talk about or report on. And it should be a big one, because from just gauging the economy from a very high perspective, you know, are we growing or are we not? How fast are we growing? Another big thing is the trend. So if we know we're growing, but we go from 1% to 2% to 3%, we know that growth is strengthening. Or even if we continue to grow, but the growth is slower from 3 to 2 to 1, it also has a prediction for where we're going in the future.
Next, we can take into consideration the components of our economy, or GDP. For perspective, our economy is roughly 68% consumer spending, 17% government spending, 14% business investment, around 4% housing. Some may say that actually adds up to 103%, which is true, but we need to factor in the fact that we import more than we export, so we subtract 3% for negative net exports. Considering that consumer spending is such a big component, a lot of attention is given to this area. So how can we gauge consumer spending? First, the unemployment number is rather important. If the unemployment number is high, it means less people have jobs and therefore don't have money to spend on consumer spending. You can also look at initial jobless claims. If initial jobless claims are picking up, it could mean that companies are starting to lay off workers, which would be a leading indicator for where unemployment may be headed. Both of these numbers are helpful. The unemployment rate is released monthly and jobless claims are released weekly. Be careful though. Some of this data can be volatile, influenced by seasonal trends or specific events such as a hurricane, which brings up another point. There's not one piece of information that's going to prove how strong or how weak the economy is. To reach the best decision, it's best to look at a broad array of data. It's also good to look at data that confirms your beliefs. This can either prove or disprove what you believe to be the case. In general, it's best to look at the broad set of data and see whether things are generally improving, staying the same, or getting worse.
And like you said, consumer spending is such a large part of our growth. And the reasoning behind that is just what we're doing on a daily basis. If we're going out there and we're going out to dinner, we're buying new TVs, going on vacations, all those things are going to come together for that consumer spending number. And you mentioned a couple of statistics on jobs, and that's probably the biggest influence of how much we have to spend. So if I have a good job, I'm comfortable in my job, I'm not worried about getting laid off. There will likely be more money in my bank account, which will make me more likely to go out there and spend and be confident in that spending. So consumer spending is such a big part of this economy, and there's a lot of things that go into what that spending actually is.
While assessing the strength of the economy now or 3 months ago is helpful, it's not really what we are looking for, as it's not really going to help us that much. To use an example, let's say Shane and I are at a park and it unexpectedly starts to rain. We both forgot to bring an umbrella or raincoat. We're totally unprepared and absolutely soaked. If someone comes up and tells us it's raining, doesn't really help us. We already know that. We're already soaked. Instead, it's better to be prepared. And to know that, we need to know that it was going to rain, or at least that there was a probability that it could rain. This would allow us to make better decisions beforehand. Going back to the economy, much attention is spent on where the economy is headed or going to go, and for this, you can look at a number of data points that tend to lead the economy.
And it sounds like we're trying to predict the future, and that's actually exactly what we're trying to do. So to go back to your weather example, you know, there are weather forecasts for that reason, and we use a lot of the same methods and ideas that weather forecasters will use. So we're not just making a broad guess at where the economy is headed. We're looking at some of the data points that we've discussed, a whole bunch of different data points that we do look at. We have our own models that we use, and then we have a past precedent. So based upon, you know, what the economy has done in the past during certain environment or in certain situations, it can help guide us to where we think that the economy is actually headed.
So let's discuss a couple of data points that tend to lead the economy, and you can see the rationale behind these. First, let's discuss average work week. If the average work week is picking up, it means that current workers are being utilized more. You can only use them more and more for so long, and at some point, companies just need to hire more people. So said another way, rising average work week usually tends to lead to higher employment down the line.
Building permits is another one, and building permits really touches on two different areas. First, if you're going to get a building permit, you are pretty confident in your current financial situation and where your financial situation is headed to initially decide to build something. And then along with that, after you get the permit, it's going to take a process. So it may take 6 months, or it may take 10 months or 12 months to actually build your structure. And over that time, you know there's going to be resources going into the building, and there's also going to be employment related to building. So it's a good indicator of where we may be going in the future and the confidence we do have.
Also, stock markets. A strong economy typically means higher corporate profits, which typically justify higher stock prices. Given this relationship, there are many devoted to researching this endeavor, and as a result, the stock market tends to lead the economy. It tends to rise before the economy starts to strengthen, and tends to go down before the economy starts to weaken. Again, as we mentioned earlier, you don't want to focus on one single data point. The stock market at times can be very volatile and go up one day and down the next. In general, looking for trends. If it's a trend the stock market's moving up, it's usually a good thing. If it's a trend that it's moving down, it's usually a bad thing.
And as we mentioned before, another one is jobless claims. So it's another leading indicator of where the labor market is headed. So not only is it a direct effect on those people who maybe have lost a job if jobless claims are going up, but it may give you a good predictor of maybe how comfortable you should be in your job. So if jobless claims are going up at a pretty steady rate, a steady trend, it may make you a little bit less comfortable in your current situation, which may affect a lot of other things such as consumer spending.
So in addition to those variables, we can also look for clues in everyday life. For example, if you see friends or family members who are typically conservative in their spending and all of a sudden be more willing to buy bigger items such as a house or a car, go out to eat more, go on more vacations, these can be indications that they are more confident financially, willing to spend more, and also signs of an improving economy. Another sign of an improving economy is help wanted signs, or what seems like frequent interactions with new employees that make a lot of mistakes. This is a sign of labor market turnover and, again, a sign of economic strength.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point of our everyday lives and what it does influence. And when we look at it, just because we had a good GDP number doesn't mean that we're going to go out and spend a whole bunch of money. But little by little, things start to add up. And I think that we start to get more comfortable in our situation or less based upon all that. If we got a recent raise, that probably means the company's doing well and we're able to go spend that. So a lot of those little things from an everyday life perspective can add up. And a lot of that is because of the economy.
So one thing we want to note before we close is that if this is something that you're interested in, there's a lot of data on the FRED website, which is an economic database that is ran by the St. Louis Federal Reserve. So if this is something that you're interested, please feel free to go and check that out anytime you'd like. To recap what we discussed today, the strength or weakness of the economy is important as it impacts many aspects of our lives. What makes predicting the economy challenging is that it is collective actions of all of us humans, and we are all unique in how we make decisions. There's a lot of publicly available information that is released on a regular basis that can provide insight on the economy. While assessing where the economy is informative, we should focus our efforts on where the economy is headed, as this allows us to make better decisions. You can always look for hints and clues in your everyday life that may be helpful. And finally, don't focus on one data point. Look at a general trend and look for things that contradict your views to make a better decision. We hope you enjoy this episode of Relatable Finance and tune into our next episode.
We hope you enjoy this episode of Relatable Finance. If you have any questions, please reach out to podcast@provwealth.com and check out our Twitter handle @financepodcast.
Provenance Wealth Advisors is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Any opinions are those of Relatable Finance Podcast and PWA, and not necessarily those of Raymond James. The information contained in this report does not purport to be a complete description of the securities, markets, or developments referred to in this material. There is no assurance that any of the trends mentioned will continue or forecasts will occur. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but Raymond James does not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Any information is not a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making an investment decision and does not constitute a recommendation. Investing involves risk and you may incur profit or loss regardless of strategy selected. Diversification and asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against a loss. Investing involves risk and investors may incur a profit or loss. Raymond James does not provide tax or legal services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional.